Says Beis Shammai had a certain mida in their nefesh, the mida of gevura. That was Beis Shammai. That's what characterized them. And Beis Hillel had the mida of chesed, and that's what characterized them. And all their machlokos is Torah being revealed in this world through the lens of chesed and through the lens of gevura. So for instance, when the ger comes and the ger wants to be converted al regel achas, what does it say? The Shammai rejected him. And Beis Hillel was inclusive. Come in, I'll teach you al regel achas. Which one is right? Is there a right and a wrong? No, says the Maharal, each one is emes. The fi shoresh nishmasa. Torah is being revealed through the lens of the Jewish people. It's really the Jewish people shaping it. It's not just the Jewish people searching for it. Shematzaz birkasa yedei hagilu hashmemi shal Torah shebichsam. Where does this bracha come from? This ability to reveal this authority that was given to us, this koach of Torah that lies within the nature of the nation. Where is it coming from? Of course it's coming from above. It begins above. The Torah shebichsav, we have no touch, we have no hold on that. We can't affect that. Right? Torah shebichsav is Torah min ha-shamayim, and there's nothing we can do, chas v'shalom, to alter that or to change it in any way. So min ha-shamayim, we're getting a gilui shmeimi, what Rav Kook calls this heavenly revelation, but that yet isn't Torah. It has to go through the lens of Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael are the ones that are megala, they're like the lens that the light is coming through, and once it passes through the lens, it's called Torah. That means Torah shebichsav alone, God alone, hasn't yet created the Torah Shlema, the Torah that God wants in this world. It has to go through the lens of the Jewish people, and now what comes out, that's a full Torah. That's the Torah that God desired in this world. That's why He did it. Now Rav Kook talks about which one is higher. Which Torah, the Torah Shmeimi, or the Torah that is revealed through us? Which one is higher and which one is lower? Bihis galusa, in its revealed state, nimucha hi Torah shebaal peh mi Torah shebichsav. Meaning, if you look at it superficially, I see that the Torah shebichsav is coming straight from Hashem, and I see the Torah shebaal peh is coming through, it's being evolved through the Jewish people. So what does it appear to the layman? To the amcha, the onlooker, what does he see? He's what? It looks like Torah shebichsav is higher. It looks like bihis galusa in its open state, nemucha hi Torah shebaal peh. It looks like Torah shebaal peh is lower than Torah shebichsav. Ki hare ha-gorem ha-rashi limtsoas nesivasa. After all, the Torah Shebichsav is the beginning of the process. This is that initial light that's coming from above, that's supernatural, it's godly. It's coming from above our world. It appears to us that that's Torah in its highest form. Hayachas ha'olyon shel ha'uma im ha'elokus ha'olyona. Im ha-megama shel ha-megamos, im ha-netzach ve-ahon sheba-olamim, u-milamala shel kol klalusam. It appears as if the Jewish people, when they received Torah shebichsav, they were linking up with godliness. Now they had the real Dvar Hashem, unadulterated. This is like the real thing. And they can connect to that. It's beautiful. It looks like that's the highest place a person can reach. Mashalama Dover Dome. Let's say you had someone you loved, and you were really, really hoping that this person would love you back. You feel this person is your soulmate. So you're waiting to get a sign. And then all of a sudden someone comes over and says, "Hey, I was at a restaurant last night, and behind me was this girl. And I heard her talking, and I think she said she loves you." There would be one level of happiness, right? But if you got a letter, I'm not talking about a WhatsApp, that's so impersonal. I'm talking about a ksav yad. How do you ever know, by the way, if someone else didn't pick up the phone and send a WhatsApp? How do you know? You never know, right? But what if it's ksav yad? You know it's from her, huh?
They call you.
If they call you, or if it's a written note, this is from the girl herself. That's the ultimate joy, right? So, bihis galusa, Rambam is saying, it appears as if Torah shebichsav directly from the author. This is the real thing. He's chosen us. It looks like this is the greatest opportunity. Aval batsura hapinimus. What's batsura hapinimus? But in the internal perception of things, hello, HaTorah nitna li Yisrael bishvil skulasam hapenimis ha'oyona. Why did God give us the Torah shebichsav? Why was it given to the Jewish people and not the whole world? Why was it given uniquely to the Jewish people? Because God saw within us a segula hapnimis. He saw a very high level of spirituality that was capable of revealing Torah to the world. That means, yes, God started with Torah shebichsav, but why did He choose the Jewish people? What triggered Matan Torah? What triggered that initial contact, that encounter between us and God? It's not God who chose us. It wasn't just a random God woke up on one and let's give the Torah to the world. God saw within us a segula pnimis. He saw a nation that had a unique capability. And God is like, I want the nation to have this Torah so they could bring light to the world. Haray, so one can say, that garma segula elokis genuza zo lahofas Torah min hashamayim aleihem. It's actually the segula, the uniqueness of the Jewish people, that brought about Torah to descend from the world. So where did it really all begin? Whose quote-unquote idea was it? What triggered it? What got the process of Torah in this world? What got it moving? It wasn't God. Bihis galusa, in an open way, it looks like God gave us Torah shebichsav, and we're like, thank you, God, and we take it, now we learn it. But the pnimius, God has this Torah that's detached from the world, and He's keeping it. And what triggered? What was the catalyst for Matan Torah? It was God looking down at the Jewish people and saying, this is a nation that's capable of enlightening our world. This is a nation that can be an Or LaGoyim and make it a holy place. So it's really we who triggered Torah coming down from Shamayim. Hare garma segula elokius genuza zula ofas Torah nashamayim aleihem. Therefore, we are really the cause that Torah has descended upon us. The nimtzes el yona Torah shebal peh b'shor shah mishoresh Torah shebichsav. Therefore we can say that at its shoresh, at its root, Torah shebal peh is really higher than Torah shebichsav. Now I just want to pause here for a minute. Why do you think it's important for Rav Kook to say this? I feel like there's something going on here between the lines. Let me tell you what I'm hearing. I'm hearing Rav Kook saying that a lot of people have a misconception about Torah. They feel that when they're learning Tanakh, this is Dvar Hashem. This is the real thing. And when I'm learning Gemara, I'm one step removed. Because I'm not really learning Torah Hashem. What I'm doing is, I'm learning how all these people tried to be Mevarer, they searched for Dvar Hashem. People sense that they're doing something higher when they're learning Torah. You know that some people even go further and say that it's higher to learn Tanakh without Mefarshim. What do the words say? I've actually heard people say this. I do not subscribe. I've never heard anyone in Shalvim say this. We do not subscribe to this here. But there is this approach out there. First, what does the Tanakh say without Mefarshim? Like, let's see Dvar Hashem Mamish. I think Rav Cook would say that's a big mistake. Because the way the Jewish people perceive the Tanakh, that's actually higher, Bashoresh. That comes from a higher place than Tanakh itself. Tanakh are words and thoughts of the Ribbono Shel Olam, but what made him give it to us, that's the fact that he saw within the Jewish people the ability to bring that Torah into this world. He saw something godly about us. There's literally a godliness in us. And that godliness is what makes Torah Shabbat Pes so great. Gemara isn't one step removed from Tanakh. This is the real thing. This is the process that God wanted to happen in this world. Let me just sum up, Yossi, and I'll take a question. I love when Rav Cook does this. He gives you a mahalach and then he ends with a quote. As if to say what? Quoting from Chazal. As if to say, after everything I've told you, go back and look at that quote again. You see something new. So look at the quote here. Chavivin divrei sofim, yoser mi divrei Torah. Divrei sofim are even what? Are more dear to us than what? Than divrei Torah. This is a quote from the Yerushalmi, the Gemara Yerushalmi. And if you think about it, it's very difficult. Why should the rabbis give more respect or adore Divrei Sofrim? Why should the love of Divrei Sofrim be even greater than Divrei Torah? I never understood this. There are some sugyas and shas, I believe, is it in Kiddushin? Aisha Nikmes with Kesef Shtar Ubiya. Kesef is the only one that's not written in Furash and Torah. Doesn't the Gemara there say, why did it start with Kesef? Because it's a Hekesh. In other words, it's not Mefurash. So, Star is also from a Hekesh. So I forget where it exactly is in the Gemara, but the Gemara says that we always like to start the Divrei Sofrim. We like to start with the Derabanos. Then we'll get to the De'oraisos. So some people see that as like an act of gaiva. Oh, the rabbis wrote the Gemara and they wanted to boost their own authority. Let's start with the Visa. And Rav Cook is looking at this on a much more creamy level. Chavivin Divrei Sofrim Yosemi Divrei Torah. Divrei Sofrim comes from the rabbis, right? It comes from Klal Yisrael. That means it comes from the Shoresh that brought Torah into the world. Is that in Bava Kamma? All right. Chaviv in Divrei Sofrim, Yosem in Divrei Torah, is that Bashoresh, Torah Shabbat Peh is really greater. You're not getting closer to the Word of God by learning Tanakh. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted the Torah to be shaped and to be revealed by the Jewish people. You also have to know that Rav Cook was living at a time where, you know, the Zionist movement was very big. The Jewish people are starting to ask some questions about the diaspora. Do we really belong here? And And after thousands of years, Jews are starting to wonder, maybe we should be coming back to Israel. The whole Zionist movement. One of the things that the Zionist movement tried to do is it tried to leave the Gemara, the whole Talmud. Let's leave that behind us. That's a Torah for exile. It's a Torah for Poland and Russia. Let's go back to Israel and do what? Go back to the Sefer of the prophets. These are, they're written in Israel. In other words, there was this view in the Jewish world that the return to the Tanakh is a return to like the real thing, authentic Judaism. Now this, of course, dates back to who? Go back in time.
What?
This is the Tzedukim. The Tzedukim are like, why should I keep a Torah that has the hand of man that has changed it and defined it, maybe has even perverted it? Let's stick to Dvar Hashem. And Rav Kook is saying what we're doing is we're not just attempting to grasp Dvar Hashem, but rather within us, we have a holiness. We have a holiness that triggered Matan Torah. And the Torah Sheba'al Peh, is the promise of that great holiness. It's almost like God delivered a Torah from above, and then He placed a godliness in us so that there would be a Torah from below. It is for this reason, Rav Osai, and it's so important that a Talmid Yeshiva knows this. It is for this reason that I don't really believe there's a way to get Morning Seder wrong, or Bikias, or anything. Because what is the act of Limud HaTorah? It's not like any other science in the world. It's not like any other area of knowledge. In every other area of knowledge, the knowledge already exists. I'm reaching for it, and I'm grasping it. Sometimes I'll get it. If you go through a math class and you didn't get it, then you just didn't get it. You're not there. But if you're sitting through a Gemara Shira, or a Seder, and you're learning, and what are you looking for? You're looking for, what is my understanding of this? Then there's really no way to get that wrong. Let me ask you guys something. Let's say you sit down, you say Birkas HaTorah, and you start learning the Gemara. And 3 hours later, you realize that you're translating a word wrong, and you messed up the whole thing. The whole gap doesn't make sense, you're going to go back and do it. Was that a Bracha Levatala? The Birkas HaTorah that you said. Was that a Bracha Levatala? Why not?
She was on that act.
What? Because the Bracha is Lasa. The Bracha is to engage in this exercise. What? How am I understanding Torah? What God wants is God wants that godliness within me to connect with Torah. And to ask, how do I view Torah? Now, you shouldn't paskin that way. At this point in your lives, you don't have a right to say, this is how I learned the sugya, this is how I'm going to paskin. But you do have the right to treat it as a chepsa shol Torah, if you understand what I'm saying. Whatever you've learned, this is the way my brain understood it. God gave us Torah, and He's the one that gave me this brain. This is the way I perceive it. This is the result of the Torah and myself having an encounter. Whatever you see in it is what Torah has to say. That's why it's the effort that's put in. It's your attempt to ask, how do I see it? That's what creates a Chakta Shal Torah. You know what else it means, Rav Osai? This may be the most important thing that we're learning this year. But this time I really mean it. There's something else I want to tell you guys. What if you're sitting to learn that? You're sitting down to learn Lulav HaGazel. All of a sudden you realize, hey, the Tosas learned this sugya pretty well. Tosas did this sugya, right? And then you look at the Ritva. The Ritva did this sugya. And the Shagas Aryeh did this sugya. And you notice how many Gedolei, Rishonim, and Achronim all learned it. So what's left for me? What, my whole time in yeshiva, I'm just going to be looking for what's been said? In other words, everyone did this already. If I'm not there one day, does that take away from Tosos? Does that take away from the Shabbos Aryeh? If I'm a little bit lazy in yeshiva, I battle for part of the Seder. No big deal. Why? Because this sikh has already been summarized. It's there. It's already been learned. It's in our Masorah. But if you learn like Rav Kook, Chavivin Divrei Torah, why? Because it's stemming from us. Chavivin Divrei Sof. Because it's stemming from us that God wants your Torah. He gave the Torah to you too. That means He wants to hear your kol Torah. He wants to hear how you understand. He wants to hear you grapple with the Rishon. He wants to see your notes. Because your neshama isn't exactly the same as anybody else's. That means the encounter of the light of Torah with you is going to be slightly different. And you're enriching Torah. You're enriching the body of Torah by you learning it. That's Chaviv and Divrei Torah. God, Chaviv and Divrei Sofrim. God wants that. He desires that. He needs you in the Beis HaMikdash. Not just you need you. It's not just you need to be here in the Beis HaMikdash. He needs you in the Beis HaMikdash. You're doing a service for Him. That what?
Hashem wants you.
Yes. Beautiful. Beautiful.